Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on a TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Ah, oh, it's been a while since that's happened. Shall I stop it? Yeah, there we go. Hi. Yeah,
that'd be good. Hello, Brayden and Davey here for Up Next. We are live on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel. Hello, postmarks out there. Or maybe you found us in whatever podcast app. Hello.
Hello.
Hit that subscribe. It's Tuesday night. We're going to talk about some
taking
NXT.
Taking all my lines. I let the theme go, and now you're just like, you're out. Yeah, just do the show.
What is all over your shirt?
Or tissues or something, I don't know, man.
It was distracting.
YouTube.com/postwrestling. Hello, postmarks. Hello, tadpoles. Hello, everyone. How are you? We are here. We are your NXT friends.
Friends.
And we're on the road to Stand and Deliver. And, well, we hit a minor little roadblock today.
That's
on
right.
Our journey.
We did.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a few roadblocks in our journeys, road trip blocks from just this past weekend. But yeah, this is Roadblock from NXT here tonight. And that means just in a few weeks, it's Stand and Deliver WrestleMania weekend. So yes, the road to Stand and Deliver is finally cleared past this roadblock. And I think we can kind of assume some of the matches going forward for that. So we're looking forward to the next few weeks of NXT leading up to this big WrestleMania weekend show, which we're also going to be at as well. Mm-hmm. So let us know if you're thinking of attending. We got a few messages from some people just from this weekend. Shout out to Joe, I believe we ran into at Greensboro Coliseum. Shout out, Joe. I know we'll be busy WrestleMania weekend, but looking forward to even more wrestling road trips in the near future. So very excited. And we're going to chat all about some roadblock here tonight with some NXT. But yeah, it's Tuesday. We're both a little beat up.
A little? Yeah, I'm exhausted. But it was a fun trip. It was well worth it. Kind of wish I didn't have to go to work today. Would have been nice to have slept.
Yeah.
But it's an exciting time. As a wrestling fan, I thought AEW Revolution was incredible. You can hear us talk all about that on the Poison Rana podcast feed, as well as our little mini road diaries over at patreon.com/poisonrana. And we're now on the road to WrestleMania, road to Stand and Deliver. We've got AEW coming to Toronto in a few weeks. We'll be going to London as well for Collision. A whole lot of wrestling this month. And yeah, I'm pretty excited about it all.
Yeah, we're going to a whole lot of wrestling. I mean, we just came off going to a huge show in Greensboro, which if you want to hear all about our travels, we just released a show last night while from the car. We did a little bit of a Revolution road trip podcast diary. We released a few smaller podcast diaries over the past few days over on our Patreon, kind of keeping up to speed of what we've been getting into. And then yesterday we released a whole review of our thoughts from the show and everything that we were going through. So search Poison Rana in your podcast app if you haven't already, and hit that subscribe and check out our latest show, because we go through everything from almost hitting a deer in the fog to Sting's last match to
Brisket, biscuits,
and risking jerky. It, almost getting arrested. So just and, amazing.
Yeah, recklessness.
Yeah, exactly. So tune in to that show to hear all about it. But we have made it back in one piece. But oh boy, just barely. So we are here. We are tired, but we still watched Roadblock here tonight, and we're still live for post-wrestling. So,
yes.
As we always will be. So are we back this Sunday with the new show?
We should be, shouldn't we?
Yeah. So Sunday we'll go live as well at 2 p.m. over on our Poison Rana YouTube as well. So go give us a follow. If you haven't, we'll chat about everything else going on in the world of wrestling, including, you mentioned we're going to a lot of wrestling coming up with even more shows, which is going to be great. This year is going to be nuts with all the shows we're going to. But lots of stuff going on. We had lots of time to spare in the car, so we were able to watch The Rock's Twitter promo.
Yeah, that took us from, like, you know, Virginia through to West Virginia for sure. Yeah, definitely the length of a state drive. Yeah,
it was like a podcast.
Yeah. We watched that. We watched all of Raw on the journey.
Yeah, last night we watched Raw. Shout out Rob for just streaming it. I'm sure his Canadian connection, like just using that much data. I mean,
oh no, it was my data.
Oh, it was your data.
Sorry,
oh,
data. Yeah, what am I becoming? Yeah,
yeah. So that was great. Yeah, yesterday the ride was easier because we were able to stop off. We were able to get some food. You know, grab a beer somewhere if we wanted to, and just, like, you know, slow the pace down on the ride.
Yeah, I meant we were here like way later. It would have been nice to, like, you know, have a bit of a good night's sleep, but I'm pleased with how we did it, because we drove in the middle of the night there, so we really didn't see much. It was incredibly foggy on the way to Greensboro, and I think all of us, you know, that thing where, like, you're desperately trying to get a good sleep, and the more you think about sleeping, the harder it is to sleep
every day,
especially if you're in a car and trying to find the right position. The worst thing is when you wake up and you're like, fuck, what position was I in? Because that worked. So, but the way back, you know, it was middle of the day. We were slightly more rested from a night in the hotel, and yeah, got to just take a load of pit stops, which was nice. It took a long time, but I think it was worth it.
Yeah, we found a great barbecue spot that we ended up going to. Shout out Roland's Smoke Barbecue, somewhere where? West Virginia?
Yes.
Take me home. So that was great. I know we had some leftovers.
Oh, I just finished the brisket. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was fantastic. And you got some hot sauces.
Mm-hmm.
So
got a clear hot sauce, Magma.
Yeah, clear.
It's hot 1 million Scovilles.
But nowhere near Da Bomb.
It's nothing like Da Bomb.
Yeah,
level,
not as hot. Yeah.
There's something about Da Bomb.
Just still it's different. Untouchable.
But yeah, it was fun. As said, we didn't get to chat really about The Rock and Cody and Rollins, etc., on Poison Rana this week, because we were talking about The Revolution
and avoiding cops.
But yes, the tag match seems pretty much confirmed now. We've got now the stipulation that if Cody and Rollins win, there'll be no Bloodline involvement, but if the Bloodline win, it's like Bloodline rules now. My little question is The Rock playing Roman here,
right? Yeah. That's the whole story.
Is this a way that Rock's kind of trying to give Cody his clean match at Mania? And he's, you know, he's an actor, isn't he?
Yeah.
He could be playing us all.
Sometimes he's a good actor. So
still, Seth pins Rock.
Yeah, there's a lot to go on. I can't believe that The Rock in 2024 is, like, instantly become one of the best characters going in wrestling yet again. And I say that because the past few times he's come back to wrestling, he's kind of done the same old song and dance, and that still works for a lot of people, and I've just totally not really cared about it. But I'm like, okay, cool, The Rock coming back is easily best for wrestling business, because it just brings so much more attention and eyes to it and brings it back into the mainstream. the whole argument with this feud right now is like Seth Rollins being like, Rock, we didn't need you to do that. Like, we've brought it back to the mainstream, which is like, yeah, wrestling, there's a lot of other characters that are like factors to that, but The Rock being the fucking Rock is huge, right? So I think it's just like completely took me from a completely other side where it's like, whoa, you're not that guy anymore. You're acting like this heel dickhead TKO board member, like going off swearing and saying all these things, and like the funny one-liners are way better than some of the stuff I was kind of assuming we'd be getting.
Yeah.
So I've been really enjoying this. And the Twitter promo where he's got clips, it's like he got someone to put this together. I can't imagine The Rock using Final Cut and like editing this video.
Is it just he's rehearsing? He doesn't want to get caught with the promo on his arm
right.
again,
yeah.
So he just rehearses for fucking 20 minutes at home and then was like, that was pretty good, gonna post that.
Yeah, just sure.
And then a slightly abbreviated version on SmackDown.
Yeah, but think
slightly.
Like he's also like with the times because social media, right, is such a big thing with the world and wrestling, and he's taking it upon himself. He's like, yo, I have more followers than actual SmackDown viewers. So more people are actually gonna see this one than the other one.
True.
So really, like, I think it's pretty great and helps the business a whole lot. It's interesting he brought up the Netflix thing. I thought he absolutely scorched Seth Rollins with the... You think when I was sitting at the meeting with Netflix, when they were like, oh, Rock, please bring us WWE, please. You think they were asking for Seth Rollins? Not a fucking chance in hell. So I howled at that. And also makes me go... Rock, you are describing that your boys with these Netflix guys, you sound like you're really close. I wonder if you were the, like, linchpin in getting the Netflix deal.
I think that had a whole lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I
think that's what he was trying to say.
They announced sort of The Rock coming back into the company the same day, pretty much, him joining the board. I think they're wanting a fresh face with all the Vince McMahon allegations and The Rock being that face of this organization moving forward. It makes a whole lot of sense.
I just, and then on top of that, like The Rock saying that, just absolutely like, no, they don't even know who you are, Seth Rollins, which is like, I completely believe that statement. And then to then like go off on Cody and the whole thing with what happened at the press conference and the story, which I'm like, oh my God, you have easily The Rock versus Cody as a huge match. You could pull the trigger on it anytime, but he just took things to a whole nother heel level by attacking Pharaoh, Cody's dog, which just makes me go, oh my God, this guy needs to beat the shit out of you now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think when this whole, the idea of this tag match was coming about, we've been saying, and I still think they could do it, that, you know, something happens night one and there's dissension between them. I mean, we saw on SmackDown the whole Roman making The Rock acknowledge him, etc., and seeming a bit pissed off that he's hogging the limelight a bit. And that could lead to The Rock, you know, helping Cody win for night two. But also there's still so much fun to be had with this version of The Rock. And obviously it's his schedule permitting. But yeah, like Rock and Cody, whether it's like a SummerSlam match or Saudi or something like that, I kind of feel we could maybe keep The Rock as this character for a little bit past Mania.
I mean, don't say that because then Cody's not finishing that story.
Well, it could be Rock chasing him for the title.
Right. Eventually one day. But yeah, I've been really, really enjoying it. And that there's other things, like fans were so into picking apart the Sami Zayn Bloodline saga of the little things, the winks, the nods and stuff. This time around, it's like The Rock with the finger in his thumb and the shape of vanilla on his forehead pointing at Roman could easily be something that people are looking into. And the promo of The Rock being like, Roman will put the title on the line with no bloodline. And Roman's face is like, whoa.
Excuse
I didn't,
me?
Yeah, yeah, like I didn't agree to this. And then on top of that is... It's like a movie. It really is, or like an HBO drama, a sort of. And hear me out. Don't just go, wait, oh, it's wrestling. Because that all on top of that, then you're like me or you, who's like, okay, The Rock is doing this to actually infiltrate, right?
Mm.
And in any movie, and any like Goodfellas or whatever, it's then Roman being like, hold on a second, Rock, acknowledge me. And then The Rock's like, crap. It's like, it's The Departed, right?
It's like the bit where you're deep undercover.
It's The Departed.
And you've now been told to test the cocaine or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, you're one of us? Yeah.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot that guy. So, and it's like, oh.
So, like, I don't want to say, like, wow, I can't believe I'm loving The Rock again in wrestling. But he has come back with, like, full on swinging. And I don't know if they've been planning this, writing this for weeks and weeks leading up to all this. But it almost does sound like something happened. They went with it, and it's just snowballed into this. But it's been really good.
It's definitely working. I was disappointed with Rollins on Raw. I think he's the one who
I've
said quite a bit recently. I think he's quite hit and miss. I think when he's dialed in and stepping away from the goofy character a bit, I think he can cut a good promo. I think the amount of sort of abuse he's getting from The Rock and Roman verbally right now, he needs to come back swinging. And Diarrhea Dwayne.
Oh, man. It was the drizzling shits. No, and it's, pun intended.
And it's, yeah, I see some people defending it being, well, he's using, like, that's something The Rock would say. And that's true. The Rock comes out with goofy, like, but The Rock is someone who can get away with it.
Yeah.
Rollins, it just sounded like, yeah, well, you smell, you know, like just a really weak insult.
I
hope he comes back. I'm still sticking by he pins Rock at the end of this. I'm still sticking by that. But I want to see a bit more from him, because I think I'm loving the stuff between him and Drew on Twitter going back and forth. I think Drew's been amazing. But for the sake of this tag match, I do need a bit more from Rollins.
Absolutely. This is a storyline and a match that could make him excel to something that he's not been able to break through. Mm. Like, as much as he's the measuring stick in WWE, he's Triple H's white knight. He's never the guy. Out of all the past WrestleManias, he's not main evented it. Mm. He's won one because he's cashed in a Money in the Bank into a match he wasn't even scheduled to be in the main event. He's never been the actual guy. This feud could absolutely elevate him, and I've been excited to see, like, hey, can you, like, hang with the fucking Rock? Because, like, so far Cody, he definitely can. He's the best talker, like, they have if the Rock wasn't here, right? Like, it's that way. But Seth's promo on Raw was just, oh man, like, you came out here, I'm like, okay, what do you got? Let's hear it. And that was it.
And obviously it's a pivot for him. Like, we heard how dialed in he was with the Punk feud.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best we've heard him, but obviously that had the legs cut from underneath it. And I think maybe it's because, you know, tapping into something he actually feels passionately about, whereas maybe he's just like, yeah, it's The Rock. We love The Rock.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah, you're saying, like The Rock can pull off this, like, silliness and the way he cuts promos and all this stuff, but The Rock can also pull off the insane, expensive T-shirts and button-up shirts. I shouldn't say T-shirts. He's wearing, like, I don't know. He's not wearing $500 shirts anymore. They're more like $500,000 shirts or something. Like, the shirts he's wearing are ridiculous. And I know Seth's gimmick in the past while is just to, like, wear these silly elaborate costumes, but man, I thought he shit the bed with that promo. I was like, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this Friday though is the four of them, like, face to face. So I'm hoping he's got something in the chamber, or there was something there, but, like, really, it was like, ooh, you're really not helping the case.
He should have a lot with Roman, you know, they've got that history. They were on the road together, the Shield and all that. So I'm hope he's got stuff for that. But yeah, The Rock, he needs to step up.
Like, also, like, standing next to The Rock, it's like, oh no, The Rock could probably, like, step on you, but we'll see.
Yeah, but also The Rock will get blown up by stepping towards him.
His meat will fall off the bone.
I think Seth's got the cardio on him. But yeah, there was that. We've been kind of concerned that maybe the IC title picture will be a multi-man. It doesn't seem to be that way. We've got a gauntlet match booked for next week, which sounds like it could be pretty good. I'm hoping for maybe a Sammy Chad Gable final there, but I think we're getting Sammy Gunther, and I think
Sammy
that
Gunther
sounds great.
Yeah, Sammy Gunther should be the WrestleMania match. Absolutely. That sounds like an awesome story with the whole Sami Zayn he's such a good underdog redemption story. It's his go-to playbook, but it always works. And then now it's against Gunther, which, hello, that match sounds like a dream match. Mm. So really excited to go to see that one as well. So yeah, there's a lot of pieces fitting together for WrestleMania, and it's looking pretty good. And they're doing a really good job with a lot of the stories and stuff. Like, this was my first time watching Raw, like, front to back, because we were in the car. Mm. So there's still a lot of stuff that I'm like, okay, like, does this show need to be fucking 3 hours? Can you not tell these stories? But it makes so much money. It's the machine. You can't, like, hey, wrestling's doing good. And I'm excited for a lot of the different matchups. But, like, yeah, even if it's just a tag match with The Rock in it, is still, like, a huge thing for WrestleMania. So I just think it's absolutely crazy that you think Seth is pinning The Rock. So go for it. You need a shirt. Seth pins Rock.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
You might get beat up. I don't know where in that. And then when it doesn't happen, just slowly change out of it. Rock pins Seth.
Like, I just don't see how The Rock pinning either of them helps anything.
I think it goes to Bloodline rules.
Bloodline rules?
Yeah, so you're going to get, like, everything, all the bells and whistles here. You're going to get the match between Cody and Roman. You're going to get them to use, like, weapons and hardcore stuff. And then one by one, the Bloodline guys, and then it'll be...
And then you'll have the Avengers, you'll have Sammy, you'll have Kevin, you'll have Jey Uso, you'll have all the people that they've wronged.
Sting. And then you'll have... Which one was the one that turned? Jimmy turned on Jay, right? You'll have him... turn heel again to cost Cody. That doesn't work. And then finally The Rock, who then goes, nah, actually, I want to help Cody. And Cody wins it, sets up The Rock Roman next
year. Sounds very overbooked.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
It's probably what it will be, right? So, like, it can't just be the one-on-one, because you know you're going to get the inevitable interference anyway. So it's silly to be like, oh, no interference. It's like... We've literally done that for 2 years now with Roman Reigns. But there's so many different options, and it all sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
So good stuff for WWE and WrestleMania. Again, we just went to Revolution, and we had a whole fun time, and the wrestling there was outstanding. Still can't get over some of the stuff I got to witness live. So please do go check out our Road Trip podcast for free, Poison Rana, in your podcast feed. But we do have a Patreon, and support your small-time content creators, because thank you, everyone, for the kind words. Even though our microphone messed up for our Best Match Ever Sting review, it was still worth it. So check that out with Nate. The full show is out on our Patreon. We just did a review of The Crow. Good timing with Sting retiring. This week, we're taking it easy because we're licking our wounds. We're going to look at a Was Next, where we're going to be looking at the March 13th, I believe, edition of 2014 NXT, featuring Neville as champ and Adam Rose, the Rosebuds, and Sasha versus Paige on this episode as well. So you get all those shows and everything
else. We could be seeing again very soon.
Yeah, maybe.
Down the line.
Possibly. I mean, sorry to go back to WWE and stuff, but you can see how into it I can be right now. Is I see Bayley getting her ass kicked by, like, mind you, some of my favorite wrestlers, just like this whole gang of these Japanese girls who just hate Bayley. And then Dakota Kai's like, yeah, me too. Meanwhile, I'm like, big business is coming up. And I'm like, yeah, money is great and everything. But, like, Sasha.
It's written for Sasha to help Bayley.
If you come out right now, like, oh my God. Sasha, imagine the pop at WrestleMania if she came out to, like, save her. Like, who am I? But, like, fuck, that would be pretty crazy. So, so we're chatting about that on a Was Next. And then the next few weeks, I mean, we're leading up to WrestleMania weekend, and we have some crazy shows lined up for the Patreon. So we'll get out a proper schedule, but you look forward to a review of Rocky, WrestleMania 15.
We're having a Philly themed month. So we've got Rocky, WrestleMania 15. We've got NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, as well as we're going to put up a poll for you to choose what classic ECW show. I think we're going to stick to the 2200 arena, 2300.
ECW Arena.
So events there, we'll put up a poll. So very WrestleMania Philly inspired month as we're on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, and again, at Poison Rana Pod, Twitter, Instagram, shout out all our new followers on there and all the old ones. But let us know what shows you're going to and what you're looking forward to for Philly and all that.
And then finally, we've got a bunch of shows coming out on our Poison Rana podcast feed, which is absolutely free. So if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, do it. We've got Shot in the Dark coming out on Thursday with John Cena, covering all the wrestling you might have missed over the next week. He's talking about Ring of Honor, NXT Level Up,
Women of Wrestling.
Women of Wrestling.
Which has been, I swear, it's actually been really good lately. The wrestling has definitely stepped up and they've been like putting on some really entertaining stuff. So I'd recommend it.
And then I believe this Friday we have your boys Martin Bushby, Brandon from New Jersey, and Dickie Bird for a brand new episode of Eagles Don't Hunt Flies. It's their John Moxley show. And this time it's Moxley versus Demons. So they're going to be talking all about, Moxley's Demons, his stint in rehab, how he's sober now.
Oh, I was like, what and do you, so I thought you meant like Finn Balor or
Moxley
something.
Moxley versus Balor and
Kane.
Heidenreich and whoever, yeah. So this is going to be a pretty deep episode. I completely trust these boys to do it. I've been loving this series. They've been
Brandon not so much, but yeah
the others. And then this Sunday our regular Poison Rana show.
Yes, lots and lots of podcasts, free shows and everything. Poison Rana in your podcast app. Hit that subscribe.
Well, shall we talk about some NXT?
I think so. We've hit a roadblock on the road to Stand and Deliver, and it can't be a show named after something related to cars without a video intro package featuring a car. Not just any car, though. One of the best cars ever made, a Lexus. A Lexus King, who's, I don't know if he was in his Lexus, but I do follow him on social media, and obviously to see his updated facial hair lineups.
Yeah, this is absolutely a rental. 100%.
Because I swear I could be wrong, but I swear he does drive a Lexus. Okay. Like, so I don't think this was his car. So this was him in a car saying, we're on the road to Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania weekend, and talks about how we're going really fast and we've hit a roadblock.
Yes.
So here we go. It's like us getting pulled over. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it should have been with, like, oh, he was going too fast. He's hit a roadblock. But what's, do they do Fast Lane or is that a main roster pay-per-view?
Fast Lane was a main roster pay-per-view.
It works better when it's, you have both of those things. So it's like 1 week is Fast Lane.
Yeah.
The next is roadblock. That's how they used to do it.
One after is Flat Tire.
Yeah. And then after WrestleMania, the long ride home.
Yeah.
The sad long ride home. Anyways, let's talk about NXT Roadblock from Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Roadblock. We start off with an asylum match. Love a good old asylum match.
Yeah, weaponized cage, essentially. Yeah. No escape, just pinfall submission. And unfortunately, no Mitch the Potted Plant.
Yes, you were waiting for that. Mm. Maybe I was waiting for like them to have it perched up. You didn't need to use it, but I guess it just wasn't in the cards there. But Dijak taking on Joe Gacy. I love to keep anyone updated who've not been following the story. Dijak has been trying to murder this man, and they've somehow shipped this as Dijak is Batman and Joe Gacy is the Joker. But in this universe, Dijak is Batman and Vengeance is a bit too vigilante, and we don't like him. He's boss man. Whereas Joe Gacy's crazy, and maybe he just needs to seek the help that he needs. And instead, he's getting, you know, attempted murder from Dijak week by week. So now the asylum match, and like you said, there's like cage with weapons all over it, including like the straitjacket that we've seen in the past few weeks. So this comes out, Dijak comes out in the black and white, and he's looking all real mean, sunglasses on. And then this is new for Joe Gacy, at least in my knowledge, the upside down entrance. His whole thing is the upside down, Stranger Things kind of thing. And the camera is literally upside down and follows him, which at one point I was like, okay, am I just like going through something? Am I really dizzy? And I'm like, oh, okay. It's because he's doing the upside down thing. So it looks cool.
Yep.
It's something different, right? So I like that. And it matches. It goes good with his theme song. So they kick off in the cage here, and both of them have weapons, and it's like a duel at first. And Dijak goes for a chair, and Gacy's got an extinguisher, and it kind of goes off a little bit, but then they drop him, and they just start to fight. There's a huge Death Valley driver for a two count from Dijak, and then there's this crate-type thing in the ring, and on it, think Acme, Wile E. Coyote, Do Not Open.
Yes.
And well, Dijak's like, I kind of want to open it. So he slides the box open, and it's one of the boxing gloves that swings out and hits him in the dick.
Punches him in the dick.
Right in the balls. So he's pissed off about that, which allows Gacy to gain some control. He hits like an emerald fusion, and a fire extinguisher comes out again as well for a near fall. When we come back from a break, Dijak knocks Gacy down and then climbs up top and then climbs up top of the cage, so he's very up there, and does a crazy moonsault off the top, hitting Gacy here. Dijak is no small fry, so this was a pretty impressive moonsault. But
it looked like he landed on his face.
It did, but then Gacy just got up and was like, nothing. So I don't know if he's just he could take it, but yeah, his knee looked like he hit him, like almost the Sammy Guevara situation there. But damn, two count only here, so Dijak goes and grabs the straitjacket and then tries to like put him into the straitjacket, and he's pretty much tied into it. But then they're fighting and there's tables set up. At one point, Gacy's got the smiley face table set up, and even though he's in the straitjacket, he's able to like shove Dijak off the turnbuckle through the table, and then does a, as Vic said, a straitjacket swanton bomb for a near fall.
Yeah, this is like the we've seen Darby do it, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've seen, and obviously, the Orange Cassidy with the hands in the pockets. But this looked pretty cool, the swanton in the straitjacket.
So this is still going on with the chaos here, and Dijak kicks out, so he gets duct tape. If a straitjacket can't keep this guy from stop fighting, the duct tape now around the entire head of Joe Gacy, and then he hits him with a feast your eyes, which then Gacy just gets right back up.
Part of me was like, could Gacy genuinely not see and wasn't sure if he'd actually been hit by the finish yet? Because he completely sting no-sells it, but then gets hit again. And
Gacy is like wide-eyed, Dijak's wide-eyed, so picks him back up and hits another one as the crowd are chanting, this is crazy. And two feast your eyes, finally putting Joe Gacy away, and Dijak wins the Arkham Asylum match, if you will, here. But the visual of Joe Gacy having no visual, because he's just like tied up
in a straitjacket,
tape around his head,
like duct tape all around his face.
Oh, trying to take that off would suck.
I thought this was pretty fun. I think Dijak's kind of made a name for himself of being able to do these fun plunder matches in WWE. Yes, this is still kind of a sanitized version. You aren't getting people do swantons through panes of glass on stacked chairs here. That ain't happening. But I think Dijak, in all these kind of matches we've seen him do, whether it be the strap match with Eddie Thorpe, or his match with Wes Lee or with Ilya, like he's had some quite creative spots in these matches that made them really entertaining. And a bit more than just, I'm going to whack you with a kendo stick now. I'm going to whack you with a chair now, which is a lot of WWE hardcore style matches. I thought this was fun. The visual of it was kind of ridiculous, with Gacy just completely bondaged up here.
Freaky.
And yeah, I wonder where it goes from here, because Gacy is still smiling at the end. This feud has gone on a long time. It has to end. This should be the end. But I wonder whether we're going to see these be like an unlikely tag team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, are we getting the Joe Gacy, we're not so different, you and I, let's just be tag team partners in the tag team tournament.
Gacy starts running out to like help him, like
do the Tatum Paxley thing.
Yeah, kind of. And Dijak's like, okay, I could see these two still tied together, but the feud has definitely run its course now.
Yeah, I don't necessarily hate these guys. Like, Gacy's done some of the worst shit I've seen on Tuesday nights here on NXT. But at the same time, I still give him a chance because I watch him wrestle. I'm like, okay, you understand what wrestling is and how everything works, and far better than a lot of other people. But he's just always been given such awful stuff that I understand the hate there is. But then I watched this, I was like, this is pretty fun. And same with Dijak. He usually delivers in matches, and he seems like he's always out there to do something crazy. Mm. So yeah, I thought this was pretty fun, and I kind of just want them to be a tag team now.
Yeah,
to see where that goes. But I don't know if there's room for them. We already got people who don't.
Well, you're going to be losing Braun and Baron soon.
Fair.
Aren't you?
Right.
And Chase U has kind of ran its course as tag champions So right. I could see these guys winning it down the line. We're getting this tournament coming up as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
That so they're gonna perhaps talk about. They could enter that.
We see Rizzo and Tony D backstage. They're getting ready because Tony's got his match later tonight for the number one contender spot. And Stax comes in and he goes, "Hey, Tony, our guy's here." And he goes, "Let him in." And in comes Luca Crucifino. Seen this guy, the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of talk. And Tony's like, "Oh, I know who you are. I've been seeing what you've been doing. And I think we could work together. And so if we have a deal, you're going to be my new consigliere."
Mm-hmm.
And says, "Welcome to the family."
Which kind of confirmed to me that kayfabe-wise, AJ Galante is now dead, right?
Right.
We knew he went missing, but he was their consigliere.
Yeah.
And he so now they're finally replacing him all these years later.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Luca Crucifino. And you know what? There was fun to be had with this guy. We saw him very briefly when he was comedic jobber lawyer.
Yeah.
I kind of like that they're being a bit more serious with him. Like right. We saw him more of a baby face last week. Tony D is definitely a baby face at the moment. So I'm into it. It was only a matter of time. Look at his name. Of course he was going to join these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he needs a good lawyer. He's trying to go for the title. He keeps getting it. If he gets in trouble, got someone there. But yeah, what does a consigliere do? I think we went over this when AJ Galante was assigned.
To when was 2.0.
And then he was shoved in a trunk and never to be seen again. So AJ Galante sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Allegedly. We see Fallon Henley and Riley Osborne.
An advisor to the boss.
Right.
Right-hand man.
Lawyer.
So I don't know what's different between that and the underboss.
Yeah.
Like, where is it in the ranks?
Yeah, I didn't learn that when I watched Goodfellas or Godfather. Fallon and Riley Osborne backstage, and they're talking about his date that went wrong with Thea Hale. And Fallon's like, "Oh, you know, I think you should give it another shot. Thea really likes you." And he goes, "No, I don't think she does at all. Because on our date, she acted like she wasn't even talking to me. She didn't seem interested in me at all." And Fallon says, no, she was just playing hard to get. She was listening to JC Jane. And Riley goes, "Oh, I mean, like, could that make sense? Like, I just really don't think she liked me at all." And she's like, "No, you have to understand, there is something there." When Blair Davenport comes in and basically says, "That Thea is a loser, just like you, Fallon. Like, well, you're giving her advice. Who cares? Like, stay out of it." And Fallon makes a reference like, "Oh, like, no, like, what would you know about, like, relationships or something along those lines," which... Riley and Blair are in fact in a relationship together, non-kayfabe. And then basically Blair makes the joke that Thea's not his type. Yeah. So a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge there, which then sets up our match Fallon versus Blair later tonight.
Yes.
But I think with the little wink there that I can just see them pairing them up. I've been saying as soon as I seen this Riley guy show up with the Chase U gimmick, I was like, this should last fucking 2 weeks before you're a bad guy and just be like, "Yeah, I'm not in this college gimmick anymore."
So. Yeah, I don't know if I feel storyline wise, it makes more sense for him to end with JC or the girl that JC's been hanging out with. Sorry, the calendar's over there. I can't remember the name. I don't know if Blair works character wise as an on-screen girlfriend for someone. I know she did it for Will, but
and then had a match with him.
Yeah, I don't know, but it is something they can go. I don't know, especially NXT. You know these kids like to hop around a little bit. I don't know if you'd want to turn it into a like on screen relationship.
Like again, we've definitely talked about this because of Rhea Ripley and the whole Dom thing and everything. Like if you have characters in today's age like that are open to doing relationship like storylines, like why wouldn't you use real life storylines instead of like using, like if this doesn't lead to anything, then why do these storylines with Riley chasing Thea so hard?
I think it's way easier to do it with just, you know, your performers, like rather than think if you have, like, if you're going through a breakup and you're mid story of falling in love and getting married, that fucking sucks. If you're doing it with someone you don't have any interest with in real life, I think it's easier. I can't see this character of Blair being loved up with this
guy. Well, she's a heel. He should turn heel. Like, they don't need to be lovey-dovey. They could just be meanies together. Okay. That's what I think would work for this guy. He just, so far, it's like, okay, you can do a moonsault, but like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, can you do anything else? Mm. So maybe this is a slow way to get to that direction. Because I've been thinking this whole time, it's not that way because he's like, oh, I like Thea. It should be like... JC steals him away, right? But now it's like, okay, let's just go towards Blair. So maybe, potentially. Maybe I'm just making things up. We go to Tatum Paxley and Lyra Valkyria, and they're excited about their matchup tonight as well because they have an opportunity to win the WWE Tag Team Women's titles from the Kabuki Warriors. And they're talking to each other like, wow, tonight's the night. We could be champs facing Kairi and Asuka. And... they kind of mentioned, like, we got to be on the same page. And Lyra's like, yeah, like, I know we're not best friends. And Paxley is kind of like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, we are. Or because Paxley's crazy for those trying to keep up. And they say that they'll do anything. And Pax just goes on this rant of, like, I'm going to defeat them and crush them and take out their souls. And Lyra's just doing the, like, scared look on her face.
Yeah, she said, like, she'll do anything to win in a quite sinister way.
I really love Lyra Valkyria, especially when it comes to a lot of her matches and in-ring work. But I hate whenever they take, like, your babyface, who WWE finally over years is figuring out how to make popular babyfaces and cool babyfaces. But they still do this in development. You got to learn how to do the babyface who looks very like, oh, like... what are you doing? And like some of the acting chops on some of the people who are like, clearly this is the playbook. You got to learn how to do all these things because you're going to do these on TV.
Yeah.
So you got to try it here. And like Lyra's been given the like scared of her.
She's partner. Had some awkward acting moments. I like her, but I think she does come off a little bland in a lot of these segments. She had a, remember that horrible, like, flirty scene with Dragon Lee?
Right.
Which just felt awkward.
Again, which was probably like, hey, we want you to do this. Like, I don't blame her, right? Mm. It's like, hey, we want you to try this out, which is like, that's the source material. So, yeah. We go to our next match, which is a tag team title match. Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, which is what they call them, by the way. They don't call them the Wolf Dogs.
I mean, they're coming out with Wolf Dog masks now.
They call it, like, she did it last week, right? Or a few weeks ago, and they won them and stuff, but they're just being called by their names.
I don't know. In the description, I've called them the Wolf Dogs, and
but like,
I ain't changing it.
I'm just saying, they still don't have a shirt.
Yeah, true.
We could. 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
So Wolf Dogs come out. You mentioned they're wearing, like, these, like, face mask type things.
Yeah, we've seen Bron wear it for entrances.
So now he's got one for Baron.
Yeah.
See their boys. So they're taking on and defending their titles against Chase U, Andre Chase, and Duke Hudson here. Bron is in and, like always, is just an absolute beast when he runs the ropes. He's like a train. He's hitting all sorts of huge moves, basically clotheslines Chase almost out of his boots here. There's then Chase who fires up and fires back at both these guys and hits a tope off the apron, taking out both of them as he lands on his feet. When we come back from break, the tables have turned as both guys are beating down on Andre here. I guess Bron Breakker has taught Baron Corbin how to do his backflip into the cutter move because we had Corbin doing it here and then tags in Chase into Bron, who then hits it as
well. We need to see them do it at the same time.
Yeah.
Tandem.
Yeah.
Flippy cutters.
I will say the one Bron hit on Andre looked insane. Like, looked like this could be his absolute finisher. And the first time he did it, I was like, this could be one of your, don't just like keep, wait, maybe keep this one. Like the power slam is cool, but I'd say this is even like cooler and crazier. But wow, Andre took that cutter for a near fall as I think Duke broke it up. Duke finally gets the hot tag in and hits Boss Man slam on Bron, a sidewalk slam on Corbin, and then he's just trying to get both of them. But then Bron hits this huge dive, taking them out. In the end, it's the end of days, and then the spear, 1, 2, 3, and the Wolf Dogs retain.
There was this awesome dive from Bron as well, where he leapt off the apron with a clothesline.
Oh, yeah.
Chase, like, sorry, Duke, like, threw the table, looked great.
Yeah, it's like it didn't, like, shatter the table, but yeah, this huge dive from Braun to the outside, like, clotheslining him, and they both, like, tumble into the announce table desk, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, Braun is so impressive. His, like, I'm just watching GIFs from this match right now. Like, his Frankensteiner with no hands, his spear always looks good, this dive. He keeps adding things to his game. Like, every match we see him do something, he's pulling out something new, which I really like, and he's brought the absolute best out of Baron Corbin as well. Like, I like these two. It's kind of a shame in a way Braun moves up. Well, he is moved up, but I imagine like once Standard Deliver's done, he'll be full-time main roster, and really excited to see what he does there. He was like wincing a little and grabbing his shoulder at the end. I hope it was just kind of
selling,
because this would suck if this guy was injured right now. But yeah, I thought this was pretty good. And if you were to tell me like 2 years ago that I'd be interested in Baron Corbin, Andre Chase, Duke Hudson, like all four of these guys, I'd be like, come off it. But I thought this was pretty good.
Yeah, probably my favorite part of this show, maybe my favorite match on this show as well. That dive was pretty nuts, and I do hope that he's not injured. But yeah, Braun Breaker is like, they're just waiting in the wings with this guy. Whoever's been the trainees of this guy, they've been killing it, man. Like, this guy is he should just be waiting for a huge storyline program post Mania, before Mania, because it sucked the way they bring him in now. I know he's beating he beat someone, Quinn.
He beat Zion
Quinn, still in WWE, for those asking who or where Zion Quinn is. There he was getting speared in they're like, hey, Zion, we need you on SmackDown. Sorry, The Rock went like 20 minutes over, you're going to get speared, which was probably in the script anyways.
It was going to be that anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I wonder if you do... I mean, he's on SmackDown, isn't it? Because I see him more likely to be tied with, like, the IC title. I don't know why. Whether that's if Gunther's reign continues, or even if Sammy beats Gunther, it could be a real quick switch over to this guy.
But true.
I think they need to skyrocket him.
Absolutely, he's got star written all over him, and again, he's made everything else he touches kind of even better. So this guy, I'm all in on Braun Breaker. He's one of my favorite things to watch. That cutter was sick, and I'm happy they retained. I was cheering for Chase U too. I always can get behind him, but at this moment in time, I didn't think they had it.
Afterwards as well, JC was holding up like the L, like the loser sign.
Oh, thought she was in the bloodline.
Thea looked all upset and stormed off.
Yeah, so there's even more dissension in Chase U. Mm. Not everything's okay. See, money doesn't solve all your problems. Kids, write that down. Yeah, but great match. Got into it. We see Carmelo Hayes backstage. He's got his jacket on, no shirt, and he's got his security guys. And Quinn comes in to try to ask for an interview here.
Sorry, who?
Sorry, isn't it Quinn?
Zion Quinn?
No, Quinn McKay.
Oh, Kelly Kincaid.
Oh, Kelly Kincaid. Sorry.
Oh yeah, looking like Matt Jackson here in his Revolution gear, like the red pantsuit.
Wait, who was she? Kelly Kincaid. Yeah. Sorry, Kelly Kincaid. That's her name, right? So he's got now new security, and she's asking him what's been happening here. And I mean, for anyone who watched last week, so Carmelo Hayes had his security goons. And then in a snap of a finger, Tony got them all to walk out. Mm. So Carmelo has gone a bit more local, I think, here. He's like, look, none of these guys are leaving me.
Yeah.
Meaning they're of his kind is what he's kind of assuming here. That's what he's saying here. Like, look at this. which then instantly, as a wrestling fan, you're looking like, wait a second. All these guys wearing masks.
Yeah, I was sure it was going to be tricked.
That's why, right? They were teasing you to make you think like, hey, wait a second. What did he just say? One of these guys might be trick under the mask. He says that tonight he's got these guys. They're going to make sure that nothing goes wrong in his in his number one contendership match later tonight. So
I like the new presentation. It would be very easy for him to just go back to the old heel version of Carmelo Hayes. But I like that he's, you know, a bit slower in his delivery, a bit methodical and sinister, but still incredibly arrogant. Like, I like how he switched it up this time around.
Yeah. So we go to our next match. It is the 10 man. The chairman is here. Out comes Sean Spears, dragging the chair. So, yeah, he's got his AEW kind of gimmick, the spotlight with the chair.
Yeah, the guy who gets hard on over chairs.
Yeah, he really loves chairs. So it's got, like, the videos that we've seen with the three faces things, talking about pain and all this weird shit. He comes out, and, yeah, I swear the intro is, like, pain is light or something like
it's, that. Yeah, it's got all the text from his things.
He's taking on Uriah Connors, who I believe is one of the Finley boys.
Rogan Finley.
Yeah. So here he is kind of making his on-screen NXT debut. Unfortunately for Connors, the chairman is the one who likes to fight here because he just beats him up, beats him down, and hits the C4, the DVD, and then kind of acts a little weird. You mentioned his gimmick is he gets off on chairs. It seems like he just got off on hitting this DVD as well and then just pins him.
Yeah, like, I'm not really saying that it'd be funny. Like, he is, he does, is see, he plays it. He did it the same in AEW.
He's a chair pervert.
He gets, like, really, like,
it's a chair sniffer.
Into it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So then, after this match, which was really quick, he then has a microphone and mentions certain men who stare into the mirror and people who feel the pain, and then starts to talk about hypocrisy and name drops Ridge Holland. And he says that I've heard what you've had to say and followed you here. And you said that you go and compete for family, but you need to take a look at yourself in the mirror, and kind of saying, like, you're sad about injuring people. And, like, I don't have
He's
that.
Saying he doesn't believe you. He's saying, like, this guy who is saying he's just wrestling to do it for his family. He's like, no, there's that sinister side in you. And you're saying you're not meaning to hurt people, whereas I think you are. And the difference is, like, Sean Spears, I like hurting people.
Out comes Ridge Holland, and they're about to fight here, and they're pulled apart, and he basically gives him the chair and says, hit me. And he gets down on his knees, and he's like, hit me in the head, swing the chair. And Ridge is about to do it, but then, like I said, the pull apart here. So they start to brawl, which eventually leads to next week we're getting Ridge Holland versus Sean Spears.
I
absolutely hated this.
Yeah, I...
Sorry to cut you off, but I really did not like this.
I don't think it's the right first feud for either of them, really. Okay, first feud for Ridge, like, okay, he had the Gallus thing, but...
This is like the 10th feud for Sean Spears.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, since really trying to push this character and reinvented as, like, this solo guy... This is his first big, like, one-on-one feud. He, like, flirted with Gallus for a bit. I don't think the crowd understand how to take Ridge. We said last week it was confusing because he asked the women to leave the ring when he wanted to cut a promo. And he seemed to be sincere and was just like, hey, ladies, if you're done, I got to get something off my chest. But it also, as we've seen in wrestling, normally when people do that, it's a bit
more get the fuck out of here.
Heelish. People were booing him when he was attacking Sean Spears here. Maybe some people are excited because Sean Spears is back, but it's just a bad first feud. I don't think this Ridge character is ready to make it an exciting first feud for Sean Spears, and it doesn't mesh well with each other, I don't think. And I like Ridge as a project, but I don't think none of this has helped him at all. And I mean, do you see Sean just, like, ending up taking this guy under his wing as well?
Any of these outcomes sound very uninteresting to me.
I don't think this is the way to start. I don't really know what else you'd have done with Sean Spears. Like, I think we said last week, I get why he's here. He's probably going to be somewhat of a player coach in NXT, which is great. Like, he's a good wrestler and
absolutely,
is a good trainer as well, by all accounts. So that makes complete sense for him to be on the developmental brand and help these people. And maybe a few months down the line, this feud might work when we're more established with who Sean Spears is and with who Ridge Holland is. But at the moment, I just find it square peg in a round hole kind of thing. It just isn't connecting.
Like, this guy, you're mean to tell me that, A, they don't really haven't explained that he used to be Ty Dillinger. They didn't really explain that. They're like, now, like, they're not hitting you over the head with that. And yet this guy's like, yeah, I saw you, Ridge. It's like, that's why you're coming back to NXT in your 40s, because you watched Ridge to be like, you know what? I don't believe what you said. It's like, there's a lot of other things you could have come back for. A title would have been one of them. To help someone would have been, they already took, I don't like the Ridge storyline. Like, I think anything revolving around taking, oh, I injured people and I feel really bad about it. Well, then maybe you fucking become a chef or something else. Cause you're in wrestling where you throw people around and hurt people and beat them to pin them or make them tap out. That is what fucking wrestling is. So I hate that in the storyline.
Yeah.
Then you took the 10 guy, the chairman, and now we're mixing two things that I just like, this is like a really bad trip and you're just throwing things in to see what works. Like you said, round peg, square things. Like, holy shit, man.
Or even if these, at least if these vignettes leading up to this were targeting Ridge in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, that's it. Because it felt like these vignettes were building to, you know, a big Stand and Deliver debut or something like that.
Is it because he saw him use the chair on all three of them? Is that why? Because he's like, oh, I see you like hitting men with chairs. Okay, I'm coming in. Like, anyway, like, I'm not interested in the match.
I get the sense. Yeah, I just get the sense he wants to, like, this Sean Spears character wants to, like, you know, he sees Ridge as being potential for, like, a great villain, but his sort of morals are holding him back. Like, we can see what you can, how devastating you can be.
Right.
He's playing a supervillain here, really. Like, who's got the Hulk, and he's trying to turn the Hulk evil.
He's chairman.
If the Hulk is evil, you can take over the world with me. Instead, you want to be an Avenger. I think that's kind of what it is.
Chairman comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I do like Sean Spears. It's just like, why is this... Any, I don't know. I'm glad, like, is this not the Stand and Deliver match? Because we're getting it next week instead, which I'm happy about, because, like, I don't need this guy on Stand and Deliver. I don't need either of these guys on.
I seem to have the card pretty much now.
I bet you Sean Spears wrestles on that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
PLE, sorry. Yeah. I swear we talked more about it than the actual match and chair attack, but I just really was like, oh, I don't want to watch any more of these guys in the next few weeks, but we'll see where it goes. Next week, well, we go into Briggs and Jensen backstage. Shout out Jensen with the Bam Bam Terry Gordy shirt. And next week, Jensen's taking on Obafemi for the North American Championship. And Briggs is like, hey, you should be, you know, be careful. It's a scary guy, that Obafemi. He's a monster. And Briggs, Jensen says, sorry, damn right he is. You triggered something in me, Briggs. You lit that fire and I made the challenge out, and I'm going to do this. And Briggs says, well, good luck. And, like, I believe in you. And he walks off. And then Dijak kind of walks in and goes, you just called him brother. You lied to him.
He said he's a dead man walking, and you know it.
Oh.
So
and Briggs kind of, like, thinks about what Dijak just said.
I like that. I like that Dijak's like, yeah, you were trying to give him tough love and now you're sending him to his death.
Right.
Essentially, Dijak just fucking around with Briggs, which is something I really enjoyed those two in the Iron Survivor. I wouldn't mind seeing that combination be revisited. But yeah, I think we're just on this story where Briggs is going to keep on getting killed by big guys until he eventually gets that big win, I guess.
Or they just become a team again.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, you could do that also. I do. Just a bit more, like, aggressive.
I am starting to... I would say both Briggs and Jensen, their acting has come on leaps and bounds.
From the first time, yeah.
Yeah, I find Briggs really... you know, he doesn't overact at all. And I completely kind of... get how he's feeling and stuff, and I think they're both good at kind of doing understated stuff now, which I wouldn't have said that right at the beginning with these two. I think that's where these goofy vignettes and stories in NXT have actually really helped these guys develop as performers.
Sure, yeah. I love both these guys, but Jensen, you know, looking like the 80s wrestler, like Magnum TA or something, but love it.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
We see Ilya He's being interviewed backstage, talking about the potential matches that he might have come Stand and Deliver, depending if it's Tony or if it's Mello. And he's not really worried because he's fought all these men before. I don't think he mentioned he fought Tony, but he's been watching. Stax comes in and introduces himself. He says, "I'm Stax. It's nice to meet you." And then he has the lawyer with him already, Crucifino, who's already there, and said, "Tony's looking forward to seeing you at Stand and Deliver." So already calling the shot that it's Tony who will be fighting you, Ilya. And then says, "You'll be seeing a lot more of me." So they leave. So Ilya kind of laughs it off like, "Oh, is Tony sending his like Italian goons after me, is he? Okay, cool." So teasing where we're going with that.
Ilya may be playing a bit too confident here.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't seem fussed who wins it, really.
He's like, "I can beat anybody."
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a super chat from Mike in the chat. Magic Mike, who says, "New subscriber, hello." Who also says, "Rick Martel, Demolition, and Crush for the Hall of Fame."
Oh, they've been announced?
I don't know if they've been announced, but he just wrote it in the chat. So
Rick Martel, Demolition with Crush in the 2020.
Maybe he's saying
2025 Hall of Fame, he's saying. Okay. we should talk. Paul Heyman's been...
Oh, Paul Heyman has inducted. Been announced. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, who inducts him?
Well, it ain't going to be Brock, is it?
It's not Brock. It's not Punk.
I mean, it could be Punk.
Yeah. RVD?
Yeah, it could be Punk. Could be RVD.
Hopefully not Tommy Dreamer.
It won't be Tommy Dreamer. Yeah, I do see it being Punk.
Yeah.
I think Punk will be a great talker. Like, he's going to be there WrestleMania weekend anyway, and obviously he's not going to be doing a whole lot. So,
yeah,
why not have him induct Heyman? I mean, you could do Roman as well, but...
Right.
It feels a bit, like, I don't know, above the character of Roman.
I feel like Punk would be the great choice because... there's a lot there, like the run, the Paul Heyman guy stuff, right?
Yeah, him backing Punk when no one else would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I think Punk would be good.
Yeah. Anyone else you want to see going?
The Hall of Fame? I mean, Batista was meant to go in like 3 years ago now at this point. Yeah, I don't know. Who?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Put them all in the Hall of Fame.
Who?
Everyone.
Everyone in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even a real hall. No. I'm wondering about this, like, not, don't call it Access, the fan, fanatic
world.
Thing, WWE World. Like, is that what the Hall of Fame technically would be? Like, I'm sure there's stuff in there, memorabilia stuff from the Hall of Fame classes.
They've got some statues now. Like, they've got the Bruno statue and the Dusty
That's
statue
pretty cool,
and
yeah.
stuff. Like, those bronze statues. Like, all the memorabilia and things they do, an actual physical Hall of Fame would be cool one.
Because we weren't very far off our road trip. We weren't very far from, like, this one specific school. Someone was telling us that they had, like, crazy...
The NFL Hall of Fame.
No, there was, like, a wrestling thing that had, like, some crazy...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, just a bit off our road trip. So
we did drive past the NFL Hall of Fame.
We did drive, yeah. So you can physically go there. Same with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but you can go into that place, right? So maybe that's what WWE World is.
Yeah, they should have some. I mean, they've got the Saudi thing now, but they should have something physical.
This same Magic Mike in the chat says Curtis Axel for Hall of Fame. I don't know about that. Oh,
no,
to induct.
I mean, he was a Heyman guy briefly.
Right,
Ryback. We could finally get Ryback back.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. Back to NXT. We go to our next tag title match. The women's tag titles on the line. Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, NXT legends. Here. Wow, it's been a minute since I've seen Asuka on NXT taking on Lyra Valkyria, the NXT women's champ, and her friend, the crazy Tatum Paxley.
Yes.
So, huge reaction from the crowd. Welcome back, chance to Asuka and Kairi. There's then Paxley who's in there with Kairi, and there's some comedy between the two, getting Kairi slapping her own butt once in a while, as she always does in her matches, and Paxley trying to do some weird, scary tactics. But the Kabuki Warriors are in the offense, and they're double-teaming on Pax, tagging in and out. There's double drop kicks, just beating her. Finally, Lyra gets the hot tag and hits a crossbody to both, and a bit of a scary moment, at least I thought, where it looked like Kairi may have gotten injured or something. She didn't get up necessarily right away and looked like maybe Asuka and Lyra were waiting for the next spot, but the ref was checking on Kyrie, and who eventually did get up, but hopefully she's okay. Eventually there's the huge top rope elbow, but that's what puts the match away, and Asuka and Kyrie retain the tag team titles.
Yeah, it's pretty cool finish with Asuka holding like them for the
stage dive or something. Yeah. Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, I you all know I'm a big Kyrie.
We love Kyrie. Fan. We love Asuka.
But Kyrie really hasn't been doing it for me since returning. I don't know if it's she's better suited in singles than tag, what it is, but I felt this in quite a few matches I've seen on SmackDown as well, that she's just slightly off at the moment. And I thought there were quite a few times in this match where, you know, all four in the ring maybe a bit too long, and it felt that they didn't have their positioning quite right. There's some cool moves in the match, but I didn't think it flowed particularly well. And I do expect a bit better from, like, Kyrie and Asuka. I don't know what it is, but yeah, this didn't really, like, connect for me. And I thought there was quite a bit of sloppiness in places as well. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe we need to see Kyrie in singles matches to see, but she definitely felt a bit off here, I thought.
No, again, I hope it wasn't something that was, like, injured, but definitely from coming back to WWE, I haven't seen... It's almost like she hasn't really done a whole lot of the wrestling as much as just the character kind of stuff.
They've been doing a lot of tags, but it's just... Yeah. I don't know if she just, you know, doesn't feel as... It's a different thing. It's like playing singles tennis compared to doubles, you know? You've got to know where everyone is at the same time. There's a lot more moving pieces, and most of her main roster WWE run has been in a tag team, both the first time round and this time round. When we've seen her in singles, she's fantastic. And she was... When she went back to Japan recently, she was having great singles matches. So I don't know what it is. But yeah, just I wanted to enjoy this more than I did because I'm a big fan of
me too.
Asuka and Kyrie and Lyra. And, you know, Tatum's not bad either, but something just felt off, I thought.
Yeah, look, there was some good stuff in the match because Lyra versus Asuka or Lyra versus Kyrie is, you know, potential big matchups there that you could do down the line, especially Asuka Lyra sounds great. And the little bits I got to see from that in this match were really cool. Again, I love Asuka. This was her yard for many, many years, as they mentioned the title reign and everything. But at the end, it wasn't nothing too hot at the gate. The finish is cool,
I think,
though.
As well, a lot of like what Kyrie's great at is her selling as well, and just playing a great like baby face fighting from underneath.
Yeah.
And therefore the weird kind of heel character, I don't think completely suits her either.
Right. After the match, Lyra is attacked from Roxanne Perez. Roxanne wearing all white, but she's acting real bad here. She beats down on Lyra and then double stomps her arm and shoulder, like in between the ropes here. They show the replay quite a few times later throughout the show. Wow, this looked like it really hurt. You know, it hurt for Booker T to see his white knight, his golden child, Roxanne here, doing the most evil, dastardly thing. And in one of the funniest things he's done on commentary, he does the shucky ducky quack quack, but it's a very like shucky somber ducky. Yeah, the somber shucky ducky.
Oh, shucky,
shucky ducky quack quack. Oh man. Yeah. So when we come back from break, they're actually showing the replay and they are loading Lyra Valkyria into the back of an ambulance.
Okay, this ambulance leaves with the sirens on. She's got a broken arm. Do you really have the sirens for that?
Whoop.
She's going to be waiting in A&E for probably 24 hours anyway.
Before. No. These are WWE superstars. They go to the, not in the hospitals, they go to the medical facilities.
Local medical facility. Yeah. I just found it so funny that this, like a potential arm break, requires the emergency sirens to be going off.
We saw Shawn Michaels, seeing if she's
concerned.
Okay.
Ava looking concerned. Really liking this side of Roxanne, though. It's the right time to do it. She was feeling stale. You could feel the crowd starting to turn against her. And now she's a heel, so what did they do? The crowd cheered her and chanted Roxy as soon as she did this attack. But I think, this go to the one-on-one match. No cash-ins with Lola or anything this time round. Just one-on-one. Clearer defined babyface heel, stand and deliver. This makes sense as the match and should be great.
Yeah, we got a taste of the match when they fought just a few weeks ago at that pay-per-view, but then the match was turned into a three-way. But now the dynamic of not only having a heel Roxanne, the match will be more interesting, but now adding the element of like this injury angle and everything, this is some good stuff for this title. It needed something a bit more exciting. And finally, like, Roxanne is just another bad guy who like feels vindicated for, like, she's been screwed the past few weeks. Yeah. So she's now just taking things into
her
own.
She's in the Hangman Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I just got to do things for myself. So, yeah, I'm liking this new Roxanne. I'm going to like this match a whole lot more than I liked the last time they tangled up. So, Stand and Deliver, I can probably safe to say, is Lyra versus Roxanne for the title. And I'm sure that will be a killer match. So, love this attack angle from Roxy and the ambulance. We see Blair Davenport come out. She's going to be taking on Fallon Henley here. Fallon, I love Fallon's theme song. It's like a Kid Rock song or something. Very nice. Country, hip hop. Yeah. Blair versus Fallon. Vic Joseph mentions that Blair and Fallon got to tangle it up a bunch in the Iron Survivor, but it was Blair who won that. And don't forget it because she'll...
No, Fallon won that.
Sorry, Fallon won the Iron Survivor?
Didn't she?
Do you watch the show?
I can't remember. Blair won the Iron Survivor?
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
All right. If you say so.
This is when Vic is like, you know, what's the deal with Blair? She shouldn't have, you know, said these things. And Booker on commentary just goes, mind your business, Vic. Mind your business. Love that. There's then more shoulder and wrist injuries in this show because Blair starts to attack Fallon Henley here, starts to stomp down on it. And Fallon comes back with this running face buster for a near fall. Blair goes to the outside, and when the ref isn't looking, out of the crowd appears a wild and returning Sol Ruka, who hits a handstand into this kind of a botch of a moonsault, really, landing on Blair.
No, I think it was a modified Soul Snatcher, but on the apron. Sorry, on the barricade.
Okay.
She did like a cartwheel on the barricade into a stunner on the floor.
Okay, it looked like she just like landed on her.
Yeah, but... I think it was like a cartwheel stunner.
And then sends her into the ring, which allows Fallon to hit the Shining Wizard for the 1-2-3. And Fallon gets the pin. Blair loses because if you remember, Soul was taken out storyline-wise. Blair was the one who injured her. And now she's back for some retribution, some revenge here. So, Soul snatching Blair Davenport.
Yeah, it was. She really didn't get a reaction here. I was kind of surprised because the, you know, the NXT crowd, they know these people. It was kind of crickets, I thought, when she came out. I guess we'll be going to this match again. I definitely want to see Fallon be elevated. She keeps getting these wins over like your like more established wrestlers, but then kind of floats around just being everyone's friend. I really want to see her be elevated a bit now. Blair Davenport seems like she might have a couple of feuds down the line.
Yeah, I'm cool with Soul. Her being back, like, I think she could be a great addition to the women's roster here right now in NXT. Don't know, like, past Stand and Deliver.
I'm watching the move again now. Yeah, it's a cartwheel into a DDT, but kind of doesn't fully.
She just cartwheels and then everything else is just there. But yeah, so not quite Shockmaster, but Soul. So we go to Chase U. They're backstage. They're sad. And JC basically says, you're all a bunch of losers and doesn't want to hang out with these people anymore. When Thea's like, hey, is this when Thea comes back in here and like, oh, I'm sorry that I did this. I forget what happened here.
No, so earlier in the night, Thea, there was like, during the Blair versus Fallon match, there was a pull apart. They went, oh, something's going back on backstage.
Oh, right.
And Thea Hale was fighting with Kiana James and Izzy Dane.
Right.
So JC here is dressing down Andre Chase and Duke Hudson and was saying like, you couldn't get it done and you're kind of useless. And Thea storms in saying, I think I've got us a tag team match booked next week. And Jace is like, yeah, with who? And she's like, well, me and you. And Jace is like, nah, I'm busy. And walks off. So JC full heel turning against Thea. Now, I'm thinking, and okay, it looks like Blair might be having a little feud with Sol Ruka, but if your theory of her teaming up with, like, getting with Riley, could Blair step in to help Thea?
Yeah.
And that could be a way you could have Blair
exactly.
taking him off of her. But she might be tied up with Sol Ruka right now. But, yeah, JC being, like, just a right dick to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. So we're getting... Thea needs friends, and now she doesn't have any, mm-hmm. so she's going to call upon Fallon, clearly.
I would think Fallon makes the most sense.
Right, yeah.
Blair could be more interesting.
Okay, yeah. Because then you got to get to the Riley thing somehow, some way.
Also, Andre Chase posted that his father passed away at the weekend. So,
yeah.
And
still wrestled tonight still and wrestled everything. Tonight. So, yeah. Poor one out for real there. I couldn't imagine. He looked a little emotional during the match.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until about after it. But, yeah. All the love to Andre Chase and the Chase family out there. For real. We see Ava Rain backstage, or is it just Ava? Ava with Gigi Dolin, and she's angry. She wants a match with Ariana Grace because she cost her match last week. And Ava's like, well, I can't give it to you. I don't know where she is. Like, I can't give
you this match.
Well,
she's saying she doesn't want to wrestle.
Yeah.
She's like, no, she doesn't want to wrestle.
And here comes Ariana, who's like, I've returned, and I'm a match? You want a match with me? Oh, I'm afraid not. And Gigi's just like, oh, come on. Like, I just want a match with her. I want to beat her up. She cost me my match. And Ariana says, you're talking all this with all this vulgar language that which Gigi did not even say anything with swearing or anything. But
she said she wants to kick her ass.
I guess so. Yeah. And Ariana finally agrees to the match.
Yeah. So finally someone, Gigi saying like, this is what we fucking do. We wrestle.
This is wrestling.
We wrestle. We fight each other. You might hurt each other. It sounds like there's a stipulation where if Ariana wins, because Ariana just wants everyone to get along and be friends and none of this combat, none of this fighting. So the stip sounds like if Grace wins, that Gigi will need to fix up her language and stuff. So I can see it being a kind of My Fair Lady sort of thing with Ariana Grace trying to turn Gigi Dolin into a, you know,
pretty woman.
Not quite that, but like a lady.
Make her proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're getting that. She's probably going to win.
So, yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Wow. It's like, I'm trying to think of like any movie from like the 2000s or 80s, I guess, where it's like the Anna Hathaway, the queen, the princess and me or whatever, something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So we're getting that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Great. Sean Spears leaving NXT, and he's asked about what's going on with him and Ridge Holland. And he says that Rage is Revenge's best friend. So Ridge, I want you to embrace it. Mm-hmm. So next week they're going to fight. But we go to the ring. It's the No Quarter Catch crew, the celebration, because Charlie Dempsey has won the NXT Heritage Cup as it stands here in the ring with them. They're all looking real nice. Drew, dressed to the nines, all black. He's got a microphone, and Gulak says, now everyone knows what we've been saying, that Charlie is one of the best, that all of these guys are the best. And Dempsey has a microphone, and he says that this cup brings a lot of the style of the competition that aligns with my vision of the pure art form of this sport of professional wrestling. He says that they not only have just won this cup, but with this momentum, they are also entering the new tag team tournament that is about to kick off starting next week, because they will win that as well. And Dempsey says that he wants to bring honor back because of this cup and the rounds. And as he's kind of going off there, William Regal's music hits. Out comes the original villain, the father, as the crowd chant, that's your father.
Yes.
To William Regal, who interrupts his own son in the ring here as they're face to face in the ring. And Regal says that this cup means, you know, years to this industry, years of integrity and everything, and the proper, you know, honor of this sport. And Dempsey's
British and European tradition of wrestling.
Dempsey smiles at him and says, "Don't worry, I'll defend this cup better than you ever could." As the crowd go, "Oh." Regal, with the biggest grin on his face, you know he was loving this, says, "Oh, fee-fi-fo-fum, I'll be watching." And then he stares down. They both kind of give each other a little glimpse, a little smile, and Regal leaves.
Yeah, this was cool. Confirming what we thought with the No Quarter Catch crew all defending this thing.
Right.
I was wondering, like, how they had Drew holding it most of the time, whereas that could lead to something where maybe Drew keeps on defending it, and
right.
Dempsey's like, "Well, hang on, I'm the one who actually won it. And you could lead to a feud to that, with maybe Dempsey eventually going with Drew, or other way around, Dempsey teams with Regal, as in, like, being managed by, or Regal could go against him, maybe, to push him further. But I like this, Regal becoming a character again. He's always good in this role.
I love him
with his brother. His son's pretty cool.
I think this is awesome. I mean, we see this in AEW with Taz and Hook, right? Yeah. It's how crazy is it your kid's there now, and we're living in this age. I will say Dempsey seemed like not on the most like charismatic when it came to maybe his promo and his mic work, but he's still got a lot to learn in that regard. But it was just such a cool moment to have Regal and him on TV.
Yeah, there's only so far the kind of Pete Dunne-esque kind of moody, serious guy can go. Like, it works for a bit, but then eventually I need to see a bit more. I need to see some passion or something out of you.
Yeah.
At the moment, it doesn't really matter. But down the line, I would like to see more from Dempsey in that regard.
But yeah, great father-son moment here with the face-to-face. Does it mean Regal gets his own crew? He's like, "Oh yeah? Okay, I'll go hire a bunch of other people."
I like that. I think that would be, I don't know, that almost makes more sense. Regal getting people to test his son rather than him just managing his son. He's doing it to help his son in the long run, but he's assembling his own people, maybe.
So he calls up Mox, Claudio, Danielson. "Guys. Yeah. My son needs to be humbled. Please get in here." What a match. The BCC versus the, what did they call themselves here? The
No Quarter Catch Crew.
Yeah. But did you hear what Drew said in this promo? Mm. He said No Quarter Catch Crew, maybe once, maybe twice. And then to shorten it for the promo, the NQCC.
Gotcha.
We're adding more names to this. Even that as a fucking thing is long. Anyways. So, yeah, Regal and Regal Jr. in an interesting moment here on NXT TV. I've always loved Regal as an on-screen, like, character. He's got the pizzazz. He's got the, you know, the charisma. Whether he's talking about his lizards or oil paintings, whatever, he's always got that charm. So I'm interested on wherever this leads. It goes from that, the man who won the cup, as it fades to the man who lost the cup, Noam Dar, sitting in his locker room with the Metaphor, and Lash and Aura are talking back and forth. Like, he hasn't said anything. He's quiet. You know, he's very emotional. What are we going to do? And they try to talk to him, and he's fine. He starts talking. He goes, I'm never better. You know, I just got to look towards the future. So it seems like the Metaphor are going to focus maybe on this tag tournament as well down the line.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. For these two.
Yeah. I like this because I was like, wait, didn't we do this already?
Yeah, I'm glad they're not continuing with like him just being silent and sulking.
Yeah. We see Robert Stone watching his iPad, and it's Alexis King talking trash about Stone's kids. I think this was from last week. And Vaughn comes in and goes, "Oh, you're still worried about that Alexis King? I'll smash him for you." And Stone says, "No, step aside, Vaughn. I want to fight him, and I want to do this alone." And he goes, "I'm the only one who's ever been in your corner, Vaughn, so please just give me what I want and let me fight him. Do not get in my way." So Stone versus Alexis King, possibly next week.
Is that next week?
Possibly.
Okay.
No interference this time.
Cool. Maybe Stone can pull out a good match out of this guy. Fuck.
We'll see. Don't hold your breath, though. So next week, also, Ron Spears? No, Sean Spears versus, that sounds like a porn star. I mean, Sean Spears is definitely a porn star name, but.
Yeah, Sean Spears versus Ridge. We got Gigi versus Ariana Grace.
And Jensen versus Obafemi.
Yes.
Right. Stacked.
Stacked. Yeah.
Main event time, number one contender. The winner of this match goes on to stand and deliver to face Ilya Dragunov for the NXT title. Out comes Tony D'Angelo, or was it? Because he has new music. And I mean, I'll just be off the cuff here. His music totally grew on me before. And when we've seen him in these like PLEs before, whether it's here at the NXT crowd or more specifically when they've gone on tour, that theme like echoes and bops and yeah, sounded so good. And then now they've just given him this new like generic string thing.
It's, yeah, maybe it'll grow. I can see what they're trying to do. They're moving Tony away from being, you know, the kind of cheeky chappy, Italian mobster. Whereas now he's being a bit more driven and serious. So, like, the music is reflecting that change in character.
Right.
But yeah, it felt a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
First listen.
Yeah, it definitely caught my attention. I'm like, wait, that's not his theme. Out comes Carmelo Hayes. He's got his security guys with him as well, the jobber cops. And Melo versus Tony, it starts off, Tony's putting a beating down on him as he chants, "You ain't him," as the crowd are chanting that too. Great sign with that someone was holding up as well. Eventually, Tony like bumps Melo off the apron to go flying to the outside, but the security guards catch him. So Melo's like, "Oh, good job. Thank you." As he goes back in, it's just Tony hitting a series of offense, huge belly to bellies, and then the big spine buster, Italian Kurt Angle. At it again here. But Hayes comes back. He hits his suplex into the cutter for a near fall. He is trying to do something out the corner, but Tony catches him in midair with like sit-out powerbomb for a near fall as well. And then Melo goes up top as he knocks Tony down yet again for the nothing but net. But as he's climbing, Trick Williams music hits, and this distracts Melo as he looks at the entrance ramp as he's yelling at his security guards, like, "Look, turn around, go see who's coming." When no one comes out, he turns around. Tony hits him with a huge spine buster. This was sky high almost here. As he rolls him over and then hits the fisherman buster and just crushes him with this. Forget about it, as he calls it. And 1, 2, 3, Tony D'Angelo is going to stand and deliver. And if you're wondering, wait, where's Trick? It's Tony who gets on the mic and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I had to do that. You know, like, the Don had to pull out some tricks for
apologize
this.
Apologize for the stunt I pulled."
Yeah, there. However, you know that the Don always delivers. So, Melo, I got a present for you. And the music hits once again, but this time it's Trick who runs in from behind and slides into the ring. He beats up all the security guards, the jobber cops, sends them flying, and goes to attack Melo, who slides out the ring and runs away, cowarding away with his cops, as it's Trick Williams standing tall in the ring, music playing, Booker T ad-libbing, NXT is right.
I like how over the last 2 weeks, in the past, the only sort of, you know, mafia business kind of stuff with Tony, it's just talking about things that have happened off screen. You know? We took care, Uncle Tito took care of that guy or whatever. Like,
right.
Whereas now, like last week, paying off Melo's security to jump off. This week you get the impression, oh, he paid the sound guy.
Yeah,
like, hey,
yeah,
I'll slip you a couple of bills when Melo's going up to the play his music. I kind of like that. And I think they could play more than that, more with that.
It seems like that could be controversial. WWE, you know, letting their employees pay off people to do these things.
Yeah, right. Oh boy. The match was fine. I think Tony's wrestling has come a long way. I thought it was very, I like the explanation, but I found the finish pretty bland. Like, we've seen Melo in some absolute wars, and here he loses after being distracted by music. I know this is kryptonite to most wrestlers, music being played, but it made me groan a little bit. I think we knew that sort of finish was going to happen, but I just wish they could have been a little bit more creative with how they pulled it off. Look, this isn't going to main event the show, I imagine. It's your main eventing with Trick and Melo. That's the big story. Probably some sort of unsanctioned match or whatever. We said last week, it's okay, Tony, but who else is there? I kind of wish you started this build with Tony a little bit before to make us really want to see him go for the title.
Yeah.
because it just feels, for your Stand and Deliver, this has come together kind of at the last minute, and no one really considered him as a title contender. And it's like, okay, yeah, I guess he's the challenger. And I'm sure Ilya will pull a big match out of him, but I'm not into it at the moment.
Yeah, I feel two ways about it as well. Like, one, this match was fine. It wasn't, like, even my favorite match on this show. But at the same time, like, Tony has stepped up a whole lot. The tag team characters worked really well, but it still is a mafia Italian stereotype character, right? And now, you kind of just said it. It's like, now you're just shoehorning this in and making it seem like he's this, like, Rocky Balboa character that we need to get behind now, Italian Stallion.
We should have seen, like, the change like a month ago,
yeah,
you know, and him starting to rack up some big wins and be like saying like, that's what I want,
right?
I don't know, it just felt a bit last second out of like going with him,
I do think
the match is going to over deliver though.
I think the match could definitely be better than we're maybe like thinking it could be, but like, yeah, for me, it's like, who else would they put in this slot, right? Like, again, Tony has definitely stepped up. I just think they could have done a lot more to make us actually care, where now it just feels like we're just going to be rushing towards this. Because, really, Ilya, Trick, and Mello in a three-way would still have a lot more, like, story and history going for it than just throwing Tony D into it. So it's a bit like head scratching at that, because like, I want to get behind the guy, but then you also just took away his music, which and gave him new music, which I'm sure we can get over, but still there's only a few weeks left to the show. But yeah, I don't want to be like, oh, it's Tony D'Angelo. I think the match could be really good, but I'm also like,
why isn't it someone else? You know, businessing his way to the title. Do you see him beating Ilya at all?
I mean, it's possible for sure, but I just, I can't say it's something that's still, I definitely had time, like, since last week, like, I think we kind of saw the writing on the wall last week as soon as they went with this, that this would be your challenger for Stand and Deliver. So, yeah, not the most exciting pick. I'm sure they can do some fun stuff in the next few weeks to maybe make us care for it a bit more, but you said it. I think if you just plan this a bit better, that maybe we would be caring about him already, and it would be a bigger
deal. Especially as well against a babyface champion.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit backwards. So I don't want to shit all over Tony, because I do. He is fun. Him, Stax, the whole crew, they are good, and they have been busting their ass for sure. But I think maybe it's like, oh, we're going with that. Oh, okay. So already it's like, well, that's not the main event. It's Trick and Mello. So, which is like, shouldn't they have the title then? Kind of thing. I don't know.
But also, does it need the title?
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. I thought this week was okay. I probably enjoyed the Asylum match the most.
Those were the two better matches.
Yeah. The Wolf Dogs and Chase You.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was, maybe it's because I'm, you know, tired after the long weekend and everything, but wasn't my favorite episode of NXT this week. But, I'm sure Stand and Deliver will be good. I think Roxanne and Lyra is something I'm actually pretty looking forward to.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily like this episode of NXT as much as some of the others, but there still was some good wrestling. I add that tag match was pretty fun. The Asylum match was pretty fun as well. Everything else, give or take. But there was some good stuff leading towards, you know, Roxanne, the heel turn. I did enjoy that angle with her attacking Lyra. That match will be better now that Roxanne is a full-fledged heel versus Lyra, the babyface. So that match will be added to the show for sure. We're getting Tony versus Ilya. Whether you like the story or like the choice, I think the match itself can be pretty good too. So we'll see. But maybe it's just a bit of a letdown because it's Mania weekend and maybe we were expecting. Well, we thought it was Okada, right? So too bad it's not him. Instead, we got the chairman who's wrestling in NXT for some reason, so he's here. So yeah, I'm very honestly very hot and cold with this everything going on in NXT, because one segment I'm like, oh, that was pretty good, and the next segment I'm like, I want to change the channel very badly. I want to turn this on. The chairman, Sean Spears, someone I've watched in Toronto, you know, Ontario, and then NXT and everything for years and years and years. I'm just like, why though? why here right now with this gimmick and everything? So there's a few things on this show that don't necessarily grab onto me right now, but it'll be a great send deliver because they've been delivering to give him the pun. So,
well, thank you, Jake, for a super chat who says, welcome back, bruvs.
Thank you.
Happy for Heyman in the Hall of Fame. I've got some other messages in the room. Thank you. A lot of people in the room today. Appreciate it. RYN saying Sol Ruka and Trick Williams returns felt super flat tonight. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, even Trick coming back, this was like, yeah, cookie cutter kind of, just not the way I think they've been handling everything. I don't know what it is. They got people running things differently behind the scenes. I don't know what it is, but something felt not as hype as it was.
It felt very by numbers.
Yeah, today, right? Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, well, let's see as well. We put up our feedback thread over at Poison Rana. We've told you what we thought. Let's see what you guys think.
Manny from Pacoima writes in, not even a roadblock on the road, the stand and deliver could overcome hard justice. An inmate in his asylum was locked down and only the keys of justice could stop the asylum from going upside down. Justice. The alpha males of NXT marked their territory on a tree. A tree who fell victim at the hands of the belt of justice. And though a mob boss overcame a traitor, a trick shot did not miss the basket of justice. For it is justice who runs the streets, and it is high justice who will stand and deliver. Justice. What? Justice. Yeah, justice. I like it. Oh, yeah, man. Thank you, Manny. I feel like Manny's...
I think he's doing the high justice. Yeah. What? High justice. Yeah. We go to Phil, who says, you guys rock. Glad you made it safe from your road trip. Thanks for all the content. Your friend, Phil.
Oh, very... Thank you, Phil. We really appreciate those kind words. Do you want me to read the next one from Frank?
Sure.
Frank writes in, we may not have NXT Italy yet, but we may have an Italian champion come Philly, not named Rocky. Shout out Booker for being one of his better ones tonight. Shut up, Vic. From Regal Jr. getting to say hi to his dad and Finley's son, not Hornswoggle, getting squashed by the not-so-perfect 10. It was a generational night. Welcome home, Mr. Regal, and welcome back, Trick. Another highlight was the refs being inept, yelling, don't do it, but not stopping Perez from injuring Lyra. Well, the roadblock is over, and where we're going, we don't need roads. That one's for Chris Price.
Thank you, Frank.
Yes. So, you know what, Frank, one of my famously Italian friends.
Yes.
Very proud of his Italian heritage. He's going to NXT, stand and deliver. Frank better have his Italian flag, better have his fedora. Better have his penne. What is it? Ziti?
I see him more likely to be wearing his Chase U jersey.
Yeah, but they might not be on the card. True. So yeah, Italian superstar. Have we had an Italian champion? This is the most. This is an international championship fight. If we got a Russian taking on an Italian,
true. Yeah,
at stand and deliver in it Philly.
Is Rocky. Yeah,
it is. Right. Rocky. That is. Oh, it is kind of like Rocky IV. Maybe yeah. That's why we're going Maybe. With it. Stallone gonna show up.
Yeah.
For this one. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. And everyone in the YouTube chat or the YouTube replay, or maybe you're listening to us in your car on a walk. Thanks for listening to us here on the Post Wrestling Feed, chatting all about NXT. Let us know. Did you agree with us? Disagree with anything? At Poison Rana Pod, Twitter, Instagram. We'll always accept your DMs unless they look sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
But or they look like they're fake, because we get a lot of those. Thanks. We'll be back on Sunday over on our Poison Rana feed. So again, search that in your podcast app or on YouTube and give us a subscribe. Check out all the other shows that we have done. Yes, including our road trip show. We've survived. We've made it back. And now we're on the road to Mania. Only a few weeks out. What, like 40 days or something? Mm-hmm. Like less than 40 days going towards Philly. So we'll be really excited about that. And we're going to be podcasting a whole lot. All the other shows and stuff. So check us out. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can follow me personally at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And appreciate it.
Ahoy!